Hi, everybody. This is Jimmy DeYoung with another edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Ken Timmerman will come to this broadcast table reporting on geopolitical events and helping us to understand what's happening in this world that may well be setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Ken will report that Iran could have a nuclear weapon of mass destruction within 2 years. He'll also talk about Russia telling Hamas and Fatah, two factions of the Palestinian body politic in Israel, Russia telling them to unite and destroy the Jewish state of Israel. Meanwhile, Iran's Prime Minister Rouhani says that the Islamic Republic is thriving, and at the same time, the United States is a failure in the Middle East. And there have been two international conferences being held to deal with the Iranian threat to the rest of the world. One was held in Warsaw, Poland, that was led by the United States, and the other in Moscow, Russia, which was led by Russia. Ken will join us at the broadcast table in a moment with more details right here on Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. You know, events are unfolding around this world so quickly that if we don't use our vehicle of our website, prophecytoday.com, to inform you of what is happening, you're not going to understand the urgency of the moment. The banner over my website, looking at current events in light of biblical prophecy. Now, if you'll bookmark my website, prophecytoday.com, and I would suggest visit that website 2 or 3 times a day. Look at the top 10 news stories that we post on the home page, right in the center of the page. This will keep you abreast of current events that are unfolding in our world, and we will help you to better understand how these events are actually setting the stage for Bible prophecy to be fulfilled. Be sure to bookmark my website, prophecytoday.com. Ken, Israel, their intelligence community, says they believe that Iran can have a nuclear weapon in 2 years.
Well, Jimmy, the Israeli intelligence community, specifically Amman, the military intelligence, regularly makes this kind of estimate to the Knesset. They deliver documents and analysis to the Knesset, which sooner or later leaks out. Sometimes they testify in public. We know from what is just on the public record, nothing classified and nothing that the Israelis have that is classified, that the Iranians have maintained their nuclear weapons capabilities. In other words, the material capabilities to produce highly enriched uranium, they still have those factories, the centrifuges to spin them. We know that they have maintained all of the technology used to detonate a bomb. The Israelis, when they captured the nuclear archive in Tehran last year, two of the nuclear archives actually, they found documents showing the experiments that had been conducted by the Iranians to develop a nuclear warhead. So 2 years, I would say, is a conservative estimate. But again, it all hinges on one thing, which is the Ayatollah's determination to actually begin production of a nuclear weapon. What we're talking about here is the lag time between a political decision being made in Tehran and the ability to actually produce a workable nuclear weapon.
And meanwhile, the president of Iran, Rouhani, is saying that the Iranian revolution is thriving and the United States is having a failure in their part in the Middle East. Is that a correct evaluation?
Well, I don't think so. Yeah. But it's certainly a predictable one. We have just had this past week the 40th anniversary. I call it the 40 years of terror in Iran, 40 years after the Islamic thugs carried out a coup d'etat in the streets of Tehran and across Iran, actually, taking over air force bases, army bases, rounding up generals and colonels in the Shah's army, massacring 3,500 of them. over the next couple of days in 1979. And this really was the beginning of an era of darkness that descended upon Iran. Today, the regime is hard-pressed by international sanctions. The United States has reimposed its own sanctions, and other countries are joining us bit by bit. The economy in Iran is in the doldrums. Unemployment is way up. The currency, the bottom has fallen out of the currency. And the Iranian regime is having problems selling its oil. And when they have problems selling their oil, they have problems with everything else because they don't export a heck of a lot more than oil, unless you count pistachios and Persian carpets. Now, those are significant, but, you know, they really don't hold a candle to the oil exports. And their oil exports are now down one half. So I would say Rouhani is being normally and predictably optimistic as he whistles past the graveyard of the regime.
Yeah, I would agree with that 100%. Let's look across the entire world. In Moscow, there's a meeting going on between Iran, Russia, and Turkey, long-term talks for peace, some type of peace in Syria. Meanwhile, in Warsaw, the United States, according to Russia, are holding up a conference there and beating the war drums. Is that a good evaluation there?
Well, the Russians are calling these dueling summits where the Russians have convoked the leaders of Iran, Turkey, to Moscow, and the Americans have gotten senior representatives from 60 nations to come to Poland to talk about the Middle East and especially about Iran. So I wouldn't call it beating the drums of war. The United States, the Trump administration, is not talking about going to war with Iran, despite what all the alarmists would like us to believe. They're talking about, again, recreating or reforging this international alliance to increase the pressure on the Iranian regime so the regime will back off from its terrorist operations in Europe and elsewhere around the world, so it will back off from its nuclear weapons programs, and so it will back off on the murder against its own opposition domestically and elsewhere. I don't think the Iranians are going to be affected by it, but that's what's going on. You have these two different summits this week, one in Warsaw and the other in Moscow.
Ken, this last week I read an article that said what's happening, which you've just explained to us, is like before World War One, how the United States and Russia were battling for control of the Middle East. Would you compare those two as something of the same?
Well, there's a similarity in that both the United States and Russia are, in fact, vying for influence across the Middle East. And the only reason that that's happening is because during the 8 years of the Obama administration, we gave up a position of dominance. Russia was not in Syria before Obama. It was Obama who basically invited them in. Russia was not in Iraq. Russia was not in many different places. They were not in Turkey. They were not in Egypt. So the Russians have been advancing their own influence as the United States withdrew from the Middle East during Obama. So what's happening now is that the Trump administration is trying to reestablish the traditional American relationships with Turkey, with Egypt, with Saudi Arabia, and other countries across the region. And I think they're having quite a bit of success because those countries would much prefer doing business with us than they would with Russia.
Meanwhile, there is a three-day meeting in Russia before we leave the subject of Russia. And Russian leadership has brought together the leadership of Hamas and Fatah, telling these two factions of the Palestinian body politic, if they will unite, come together, they can win. It looks like Russia could not get in on the Israeli-Palestinian conflict and their peace, but now they're trying to assist the Palestinians to go after the Israelis.
Well, that's right. And remember that the PLO has been a longtime ally of the Soviet Union, right? It goes back to the 1970s and the 1980s. So this is nothing new. But what is new is the inability of Moscow to impose its will on these rival factions within the Palestinian leadership, Hamas and Fatah. I find that almost ironic. Here is Russia that thinks that they are so powerful in the Middle East that they can work with Turkey and work with Iran to reform the future of Syria after its civil war, and yet they're incapable of getting two rival Palestinian factions to work together to negotiate a peace agreement with Israel. It is ironic.
I read in another report that the Muslim influence is declining in Turkey. That does not seem to be true to me, but what do you know about that?
Well, this is a poll that was taken, and I think it's a little bit early to judge this. But we saw, by the way, similar things happen in Iran, where Islam, despite 40 years of an Islamic state in Iran, or perhaps because of those 40 years of an Islamic state, the role of Islam has diminished in Iran. The Iranian people go less to the mosque than they did before under the Shah, because they see the regime of murder and mayhem that is being carried out in the name of Islam. I would suggest that this is perhaps what's beginning to happen in Turkey as Turkey increasingly becomes an Islamic state, but it's a little early to tell, I would say.
What about the United States accusing China of preparing for World War III? A lot of talk about World War III. Now it looks like China's being brought into this agenda. Are they possibly preparing actually for World War III?
Well, China is clearly preparing to become the dominant world power by 2050. It's in all of their official documents. They don't make a secret out of this. They're building aircraft carriers. They're expanding their navy, their air force. They're modernizing their nuclear weapons. They have the Belt and Road Initiative, which is to establish Chinese military and commercial bases through all of the world's trading routes. They've been buying up container ports around the world and establishing new bases in Pakistan, in the Arabian Sea at the mouth of the Persian Gulf. They have a military base on the Red Sea. So the Chinese clearly are expanding. They clearly would like to become the dominant power, but they're also cautious in the way that they exert that power. They have gone incrementally. Right now, they're at the stage where they're trying to assert their influence and their sovereignty, really, over the South China Sea. So you've had a number of incidents recently between Chinese warships and U.S. warships in the South China Sea, near the Spratly Islands and the Paracels. So that's the kind of thing that's happening today. We're not headed towards World War III with China in the next decade, but by 2050, if we do not prepare for this well ahead of time, the Chinese are going to assert themselves militarily.
When we talk with Ken Timmerman, we cover the waterfront because you need to know geopolitically how things are unfolding across this world, and then we bring it together with a prophetic scenario found in God's Word. And every issue that we brought up with a different nation or two, they're mentioned in Bible prophecy. Ken, thank you so very much. You just are so valuable to us. We appreciate it. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks so much, Jimmy. Always a pleasure. God bless.
Very important report from Ken Timmerman. He covers geopolitical events happening in our world that help us to better understand how the prophetic scenario found in God's Word is ready to be fulfilled seemingly in the very near future according to these current events that are part of a prophetic scenario that is found in God's Word. You know, Ken laid out for us the purpose of these two international conferences, one in Warsaw, led by the United States, and the other in Moscow, that was led by Russia. And they had a focus on the Iranian threat to the world, and Ken was able to report that decisions may well be made in these conferences. But Ken brought to our attention, he believes Iran will do their own thing, whatever the conferences bring forth. Iran's activities will follow the prophetic scenario that is found in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 38, and Daniel, chapter 11. Iran will help form the alignment of nations, Islamic nations we're talking about, who will come forward to destroy the Jewish state of Israel. However, these same prophetic passages reveal the truth that God will intervene to protect the Jewish people from total destruction. That's God's plan for the Jews for the future. And that is my prophetic perspective on the news today. I'm Jimmy DeYoung. Thank you so very much for joining us on this edition of Prophecy Today Intelligence Briefing. Be sure to come back again next time when we will continue to look at current events in light of biblical prophecy.